turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to continue in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and we're going to try to end the Beatitudes by the end of January. And in February, we're going to start a new series on missions, like a mission month of February. And then I am praying and thinking about going through the Lord's Prayer and give you some extremely insightful things about prayer that Jesus tells us. And so that's where we're going for at least a couple months, okay? All right, if you could stand with me, if you're able, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. You could all rise for the reading of God's word. And again, I know this is a little bit new to you. After I finish Matthew 5, 1 through 12, I'm going to say this is the word of the Lord. And if you could respond all by saying, thanks be to God, and then have a seat, okay? And I'll pray, and then we'll begin that way. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. This is God's infallible, inerrant word. Please give your full attention to it. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain and sat. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth, taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. If you could join me in prayer, ask for God's help. Please bow with me. Our great God and Savior, once again, we need your help. That a miracle of not just hearers of your truth, your word is truth. But doers of them by your spirit to change us more and more. Every day, every week, every Sunday, to be changed by the power of your word. We have read your word, and now I pray that you would speak, to the hearts and minds of your people, that they will come with humility as I even just pray now, soften their hearts now, that they might receive your word, though it might be hard to swallow, and bear fruit 10, 20, 100-fold. Make that miraculous thing happen, I pray. All this not by might, not by power, but by your spirit in and through Christ. Amen. Youth group, I do recognize you guys. Thanks for coming here again, participating with us. We're on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. This is Jesus' sermon, about a 30-minute sermon, okay? And in the Beatitudes, we've been going on there, spending a little bit of time. We took a huge hiatus, and then we are back now. Remember, this is Jesus' first sermon, and he has come to build a kingdom. and he is listing some of the essential characteristics, not just of his kingdom, but people in his kingdom. Okay. These are, you could say, survival characteristics. These are characteristics that you need to survive in the kingdom that he has come to usher in. And these characteristics that we have went before, these are almost as diametrically opposite to the characteristics of this world. Remember? The first one, the very first, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This world says, be full of yourself. Be focused on yourself. Believe in yourself. And you could accomplish a lot of things in the world. In God's kingdom, for God's people, that is not how it works. You don't focus on the self. You don't lift the self up. It is poor of spirit, blessed, happy are the none of self. Zero of self. I mean, have you ever, any company or people you talk to, is like, you want to be successful in this world? Empty yourself. None of self. No one says that. No one. No company says that. But this company says, no, none of yourself, empty of self, and be full of God. Be full of the Spirit of God. And so it's almost opposite of the characteristics or the ways of this world. And we have come to this next attitude, characteristic, and I will say others are hard, but this one is a little bit harder to preach on because I'm going to probably step on a lot of you guys' shoes. This pure in the heart, it's not really celebrated, you know, to the culture around us, this purity of our blessed, happy, okay? Almost like happy or not the pure in heart. Those are the, you know, the losers. People who just celebrate impurity, indulging all kinds of desires all around us. And the example I want to give at the end is, I don't know if it's popular now, but the reason I'm addressing this TV show is because a few years ago on my Facebook, most of my Facebook friends are mostly Christian. I would say 99.9% are mostly Christian. And it blew up. Game of Thrones. Like, all my friends were like, from pastor down. Like, what a show. I can't wait to watch this next season or next episode. You guys are looking at me like, I'm crazy. It was like a popular HBO TV series. I don't know how many seasons. I've seen it. But I'm going to read you a couple reviews and then give you some applications. Okay? All right, that's where we're going, okay? Blessed are the pure pure in heart. We can go backwards. Heart. Jesus is mainly interested with your heart, meaning he's interested in your inside, not your outside. One more time. Jesus is mainly interested in your inside, not your outside. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 23 to the Pharisees, which is the religious leaders in his day. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside your heart, they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. You know what hypocrisy is, right? It's a root word for acting. You're actors. Pretending to be someone you're not. You know what? That's what actors are. I'm not too impressed with, I mean, they have some skill. I'm not saying that they're not. But you know how many it takes for an actor and actresses to get that right, you know, clip? Many times. They don't show you all the practices and all the things that they do. But a lot of the actors and actresses are pretending to be someone that they're not really not. I remember when I grew up, I had two older sisters, so I was, you know, you end up watching like a lot of chick flicks, you know, and romantic movies, whatever. And my sisters were into Anne of Avonlea, Anne of Green Gables. Anyone know? Anne of Green Gables? No, not really. It was this orphan girl, Anne with an E, and she was adopted. And I was in love with Anne when I was in high school, because she was a perfect, back then, perfect woman, Anne of Avonlea, you know. And she just had a charm about her, you know. And I didn't read the book, but I own the DVDs, three-part series. And I think I've watched that movie like hundreds of times. Okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but a lot. Probably like dozens of times, that movie. And I mean, I don't know how she's in real life, but in the movie, I was in love with Anne. But she's pretending. She's not really Anne in the movie, you know what I mean? She's acting, and that's what hypocrisy is. Hypocrisy is, you're not like that on the inside, really, but you're pretending to be someone that you're not. To be righteous, but you're really not. That's what hypocrisy, that's what God hates. That's why he was rebuking the teachers back then. They acted so righteous, right? On the outside, but on the inside, they weren't really righteous at all, you know? They're pretending. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance." Remember, he was choosing a king, okay? The next king. It wasn't Saul, but there's another king. "Do not look at the appearance or the height," or on the height, right? If you're short, I mean, you're nobody, right? You gotta be tall, right? Dark, tall, and handsome. That's what shakes the shakers in this world. Short people can't do nothing. I've heard that Apostle Paul was a short guy. Short little, chubby little guy. The greatest preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon was really chubby fat guy that he would like look down and he can't even see his toes because he had to look. I'm not promoting obesity or anything like that. I'm just saying, do not look on his appearance or on the height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He looks at the inside, beyond the outside, beyond your outside religious persona. I mean, come on. I'm supposed to be a pastor, right? I'm supposed to be holy, right? You know? I mean, I just can't be a pastor on Sunday, okay? I can't just pretend to be holy and righteous one day. No. It doesn't work that way. I mean, it's hard to listen to a pastor if you think he is a hypocrite. He doesn't try to practice or live the things that he preaches. You know? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. My words will be powerless because I'm a pretender. I'm an actor up here. And so let me try to demonstrate a little bit about the outside and inside. Okay, here's my attempt here. Look, they look the same, pretty much, right? But one is pure on the inside. The other one is 10% water and 90% contaminated. Can you guess which one it is? On the outside, it looks like they look the same. I mean, can you guess which one is contaminated? Which one is impure? Guess. Okay? No. You could try to guess, but you can't. All right? Even looking at the bubbles or something like that. Okay, who thinks this is the pure one? Raise your hand. Everyone's like, okay? Yeah. There's one impurity here, and there's one purity here. And so my point is, it's hard to look at just the outward to see who's impure and pure. Man can't see. I can't see. I can't read your thoughts. Right now you'd be like, Pastor Tim, just get over. Just get the sermon over with. You know, I'm going to go eat some food. I'll be thinking that. I don't know. I want to go see football on. Is it football off right now? You know what I mean? This one is impure. This is 90% vinegar and 10% water. And this is 100% water, tap water. Okay. And God sees you. It doesn't matter if I can't see you. He sees your true self. He sees you beyond the closet. Actually, he sees you more than your wife knows you. I mean, your wife really knows you, right? The good and the bad does. But actually, my wife, Tasha, she really knows me, but she doesn't really know me because I could also hide things from her. I have. I've got tickets, and I've hidden from her, you know. She thinks I got like 2 tickets over my lifetime. I got like, I don't know how many, but you know, more, you know what I mean? And so, I mean, that's a joke, but there's a lot of things that my wife doesn't know about me, the true me, but God does. And if God looks at you right now in your heart, where would he find? I'm seriously, guys. What would he find? I mean, if your life and your thoughts were projected into this screen here, okay, what will we find there? What will we see? Well, it doesn't matter what I see, okay? But it really matters what God sees beyond the surface, beyond what man looks at. That's what Jesus is saying. Blessed are the what? Pure. Pure in heart, inside. I want to say it should be shocking to many of you, but have you seen most people, especially non-Christians, they're so gung-ho about trying to make the outside beautiful, you know? Even Christians have fallen into that kind of a, look outside beautiful, have a beautiful house, beautiful car, beautiful resume, okay? Because that's what a lot of people look at for your worth. And yet, very little, very few who have the wisdom to work on the inside to make the inside beautiful. A lot of people don't even examine what's inside, you know? They just want others to look at who they are. And what God is saying, that is not a happy person. That's not a blessed person. We should really feel sorry for people who are trying to make the outside beautiful and the inside not beautiful. It's ugly inside, you know? It's dark inside. All right, so what does the word pure mean? Well, pure means pure, okay? The dictionary says pure means not mixed or adulterated with any substance or material, free of any contamination. Free of any. Pure means 100%. If God looks at you in your heart, he sees no contamination. No divided heart. It's not like, oh, my 50% of my heart is with this world and things here, and the 50% is with God, or whatever percentage it is. It is not mixed. It's not divided. It is one. There is purity. Blessed are the people who are pure in heart. The Old Testament gives an amazing example of purity. And I think I mentioned this before. I think I did. When the, go back to the temple. I know we don't have a temple now, but in the Old Testament with the Israelites, they had the tabernacle, which actually became a temple, like a huge physical edifice. And temple is a larger version of the tabernacle or the tent, okay? All the stuff is there. That's in the tabernacle and the temple. The tent was able to, you could move it, movable, as their Israelites were traveling, you know, in the desert. But the temple was fixed, okay? And the temple was in the promised land that they lived, all right? And in the temple, there were ceremonies going on all the time, okay? 24/7. The priests were doing all kinds of different kinds of ceremonies on behalf of the people of God, okay? So the priests were interceding for the rest of the group, millions, okay? And the priests in each tribe will come into into the presence of God, and they will intercede, do all kinds of ceremonies, okay, sacrifices and sins, using all kinds of different articles, okay, plates, candlesticks, you know, spoons, whatever, okay, to perform their ceremonies. What they will do is they will take common articles of plates and cup and utensils that they need in the temple services and the ceremonies, and they would actually take that, and then they would sacrifice an animal, take its blood, and they will sprinkle it on the articles, okay? And they will declare these plates sanctified, pure, holy. Meaning now these common plates are no longer common anymore. Now they're only temple use. Temple use only. There's the purity there. There is the word holy. And the reason I almost interchange purity and holy is because what the book of Hebrews says in 12:14. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hebrews 12:14 says, no one will see the Lord without holiness. Purity and holiness is not the same thing, okay? But they're kind of close. Purity is more like no sin in your heart. There's zero free of sin, okay? Holy is being pure, but is like a step above. Holy means, yeah, there is no sin, but holy means you want God and nothing else. He is the source of all. He is your all in all. You want him and nothing else. If you have him, you are completely happy and satisfied. You want him. You want God. Remember, Jesus says the first greatest commandment, love the Lord with your God with what? All, 100%. All your mind. Love God with
your mind 100% to God. Love your God with your all your heart. The only thing that you love in this world is God. Then you're coming close to what he means, holiness. There's nothing that really satisfies you than God. Knowing God, studying God, to be in God's presence. There's your joy. Your joy is not mainly in basketball. Okay, I know you know, not some of you guys are basketball. I don't care about basketball. You know, I care about more about like Dota. Is Dota popular now? I don't even know. You know what I mean? No. I love God. I want to be in his courts and 10,000 elsewhere. There you're getting close to what holiness is. There's a purity. And if you understood what I just said right now, blessed are the what? You know, a lot of you guys are like, purity. Of course, purity of heart, but I mean, I'm not purity, so hey, you know, it's all right. God gives me grace, even though I'm not pure. And so gives me grace to just keep on being impure. That is not the gospel. The gospel, the good news is Jesus has come by faith in Christ. He has come into your life. The Spirit of God, the power of heaven has come into your life to what? Make you pure. Make you holy. I know you're not there right now. I'm not there. But every day, every week, every year, you are progressing. You are changing. You want to change. It's not like, oh, you sin and, oh, God, forgive me. And then you keep doing the same thing. I doubt you understand what the gospel is. Grace is not for you to keep sinning and it's okay. Paul says that in Romans, remember? Should sin increase that grace might increase? Negadito! May it never be! The reason, my friends, my brothers and sisters, the reason why Jesus saved you, because he wants to make you whole. He wants to make you holy. He wants to make you the way you were supposed to be made, only for God. To be holy as I am holy. And here's the answer. The answer is not, okay, all right, Pastor Tim, you told me I gotta be holy. It's impossible. I'm gonna try. Self-effort. Self, whatever. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You will fail. What you have to do is you need to come to Jesus all the time. You know, a lot of you guys think, okay, back then you got saved, you became a Christian, you relied on Jesus. All his grace, all his death, all his righteousness, and everything is him. And after you become a Christian and you get baptized, oh, then I gotta fight. I gotta do. I gotta change. Wrong. No. You started with the gospel, and then Paul talks about that. You go into this. You? No. That's not how it works. That's not what the gospel is. You need to come to Jesus every day. And that's what I do. I want to be a loving husband and wife and father, and I fail daily. Okay, and I grieve. Maybe the kind of pastor that maybe you want, whatever that is. And I go, okay, next week, tomorrow, I'm going to try better, you know?
I'm not going to say that. It's just be short with my wife because she didn't give me what I wanted, you know? Oh, yes, tomorrow I'll do better. And it might be okay for a week or 2 weeks, and then I fail again. You know why? Because I'm trying to do it. No, that's not how it works. It's when I fail to love someone or care for someone or love someone, have mercy and grace, okay, to serve, not to, you know, try to, you know, dictate. When I fail, I go to Jesus. We talked about last week in prayer. I go to him, and he's my father. He cares for me. And I just simply pray, God, I can't. I have dirty hands and a dirty heart. I'm not the solution. Jesus, help me. Help me! Okay, I'm just trying to, like, you know, help me, please! It's like the desperation is what you want. Do you want what only he can do? Do you want that? Because when that happens, man, it works. He does a long-lasting change. Have you felt that? Or are you just keep trying, and you fail, and you try again, and ask for God's forgiveness, and you try again, and fail, and try again, and fail? Or do you want to go into the more blessed life of God, Jesus? You have saved me a long time ago, and you need to save me now. Make me holy now. Make me pure. Make me a loving, more loving husband. Father, change me. The very power that saved me is the very power that I need now to be a Christian. Do you do that? Do you think that way? Or do you say, oh, I'll try hard next time? David understood this. Remember David, when he sinned, right? He committed adultery with Bathsheba. Do you know what he did? He's like, oh, let me try harder, okay? Next year, I'm not going to do this. You know what his testimony is? The reason David was so honored by God, because he understood the ways of God. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Did he say, I'm going to create my own pure heart? Did he say that? No. God Almighty, the creator of all, creator, I know. You have the power to speak and from nothing becomes universe. You have that power. I know you. And you could take my dirty heart and you could create. You could make. Create in me a clean heart. Who's creating? Who's doing? Not him. He knows he's bankrupt. He knows he has dirty hands and a dirty heart. If it's up to him, he will keep on doing it. But he knows. Create in me a clean heart. Oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. He brings a right spirit within you, not you. Not through yoga or whatever the people use. It is God, God. God is the answer. You're not the answer. I'm not the answer. I'm going to always fail. Always. What would I go to me as the answer? Okay? If I was smart, I'd be like, this doesn't work. I keep failing. Okay? And the Bible, the gospel, gives you and I a solution. A perfect solution. It's Jesus. Go to him every day, every hour. To help you. Blessed are the pure in heart. I like the song, purify my heart. Let me be as gold, precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold. Refine. You know that song?
Some of you older guys know it. Some of you young guys, you don't know. You guys are into like Hillsong and Bethel, all that stuff. But this is an old song. Refiner's fire. You know who that is? That's God. That's Jesus. Refiner's fire. You know, refining fire, a lot of refinement of metal, you know how it works, right? You take this molten rock and there's inside, it's mixed with alloy and then precious metal, okay? Refiner's fire, my heart is one desire. I want to be holy. It's you, one desire, not two desire. Is to be holy. And so often, God will take your divided heart and he will make you go through the fire. The Father sends you that discipline or that hardship to refine you, to separate from the dross and the alloy and bring out the precious metal, 99.9% pure silver or pure gold. Your Father will often do that to you, to test you, to refine you. You need to have some wisdom to understand that, okay? When hard times come, your Father has sent that to you to refine you, to make you pure and holy. And if you say at that moment, I don't want it, it hurts. I know it hurts. But your Father has sent that to you to make you holy. You have to receive it. You can't say, oh, God, take it away. Take away purity. Take away holiness. That's why he sent it to you. So don't do that. There comes a hurt when because of sin. Okay? And you got to deal with that. You got to say, oh, God, I'm sorry. I repent and turn away. But there comes a discipline from your Father in heaven to change you, to refine you, to make you pure and holy. And your Father will often, he's most likely responsible for that hardship, my brothers and sisters. Don't discard that. Don't tell your Father, take it away. Take away your holiness. No, that is actually someone who is immature in faith. When hardship comes in my life, I pray I'm ready. I'm ready. God, I know it hurts, but I know you're my Father. He is sovereign over all. He could take it away if he wanted to. Amen? He can. But often he brings it to your life to change you, to correct you, to bring discipline to you. Receive it. Receive it, my brothers and sisters. Blessed are those who are pure, holy in heart. I'm running out of time here. Let me give you an example. My son is really, he's in Awana every Wednesday night. They, you know, learn something, memorize like one verse, okay? And verse, a couple weeks ago, he was singing it to me, okay? He was like, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. I store up your word. Where? In my heart. How can you become pure and holy? And I try to summon you guys two Sundays ago. And I pray my son later on will understand that song is true. It is this. When you are far from this, you know what's going to happen? Don't buy into the lie, my friends. When you close this or come go to this very seldomly, you will not be pure. You will not be holy. That is a guarantee. We're not in the Word, okay? And trying to learn what it says here, that's when my life becomes impure. And I could hide that from many people on the outside. You know, I could smuggle on the outside, but inside I'm rotting because I'm not taking the Word and applying it to my heart, my sinful heart. A lot of you guys are not very careful. In Proverbs it says, guard your heart, guard it, okay? Don't let contamination in, okay? Above else, guard your heart, Proverbs 4:23. That comes the Game of Thrones, okay? Now, I never watched this show. I don't know how many seasons. Maybe there's a lot of seasons, a lot of episodes, I'm sure. And here are some of the reviews that I got from the most popular, one of the popular shows on HBO. I don't know how long it's been out now or still going on. I'm not even sure. But here's just the on internet review of Game of Thrones. And you don't have to raise your hand if you watched it, okay? Please don't do that. Okay, but you know, okay? Or other shows. Look at this. And remember, the reason I bring it up is because a lot of friends from my Facebook were like, we should watch it together. Game of Thrones, next season. I can't wait, you know? And it was popping up, you know, on your little feet everywhere. We watched it together, you know? It's so great. And it's set in a fantasy world, in the medieval times. And look at the review. And this is not even a Christian review. This is just random review on the internet. And it has, like, you know, the ratings, right? Sex, 5 out of 5. Okay, 5 being the most graphic sexually, and 1 being not so much, you know? It's 5 out of 5 in sex. 5 out of 5 in violence. And 4 out of 5 in language, like F you, you know? All kinds of crude language. The sex in the movie is sometimes pornographic. Now, I mean, this is his review, okay? Or his, her review. But from it's pornographic. Sometimes. There is gay sex, lesbian sex, incestual sex, violent sex. Not appropriate for some scenes for even adults. I'm not watching any more episodes. End quote. First of all, there's another review. First of all, I am pretty shocked to see how many kids and parents we have watched with their kids have reviewed this show. Let's be clear. It is not for anyone under 18. This show has a fantastic plot and interesting character, but unfortunately it can't go 5 minutes without someone being beheaded, having sex, or cursing. Sex is more graphic and frequent than some soft porn, softcore porn. The language is such that a sailor would wince. Language says that a sailor is like, they don't really care, they're just like, sailor would like go. I could just imagine without watching this TV show, HBO series. The violence is graphic, disturbing. Positive role models are scarce. Nudity and sex are absolutely fine. Call for da-da-da-da. And look at this. It's a huge, not in a million years, acceptable for kids. Acceptable only for adults who really want to see interesting story play. And there is a lie. I've learned this early on in my year, okay? Hannah, who is 2, right? She's 2 years old, a little over 2 now. And do you think I would sit down with Hannah and watch the Game of Thrones with her? You know, hang out? Why not? The answer is no. How come? Why would I watch this graphic, disturbing, you know, 5 out of 5, sex, violent, and crude language. How come I wouldn't see it with her? And the answer is because it is bad for her, right? Okay, no one's going to say, oh, no, it's good for her. This stuff is good. Two-year-old, it's good. No, it's bad. This person was saying it's even bad for below 18. And just because it's bad for my two-year-old doesn't mean it's good for adults. No, it's bad for you. If it's bad for her as a human being, it is bad for you. So that person is wrong. Only watch for adults if you like the story plot and withstand all the sex and violence and language. That's how people think. Maybe a lot of my brothers and sisters in my hometown and some pastors, you know? Yeah, you know, I'm not really into that, but I'm just into the story plot. Baloney. No, if it's bad for my two-year-old, it's bad for a 60-year-old, 70-year-old. It's bad for me. I'm a 43-year-old person. It seems to me, I'm not picking on any of you guys, okay? Because I don't know what you guys watch. But it seems to me we're not very careful. We're not guarding stuff that's coming into our hearts, okay? And it's making us impure. No, we need to let, and here's what Paul says. And this is what God is telling us and you and me, okay? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers. Finally, LCC. Finally, church. Whatever is true. Whatever is noble. Whatever is right. Whatever is pure. And you can put holy there too. Whatever is lovely. Whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And you know what the litmus test of that is? It's not you. It is not me. The litmus test is, I mean, would it be the apostle? I mean, could you sit in the couch with an apostle, Apostle Paul, any of the apostles, and then watch Game of Thrones, you know, and be comfortable there? Celebrate this plot, storyline, how great it is? I don't think so. What about Jesus? If he was there with you, okay? He's right there with you. Would you be watching some of the things that you're watching and consuming? I'm consuming, I'm watching. And it's not even just the purity of the thing. You could watch clean shows, but what about the time that we're spending there? You know, YouTube, Facebook, the hours that we're spending in those things. You know, I used to think, if I watch Little House on the Prairie, you know, I'm not watching the bad stuff, right? I'm watching clean shows. Little House on the Prairie or The Waltons. That's good. I'm all right. No. I could be wasting my time in those admirable or noble novels. Search your heart. Search my heart. Okay? I'm not saying don't read great novels or watch movies that's, you know. I could take some violence. Okay? But for me, I'm not sure about the sex stuff, you know. I'll never watch Game of Thrones because I know how weak I am, okay? And I want to seek, and I'm Blessed are the pure in heart. If you think that is true and noble and lovely, admirable, where you'd be comfortable sitting with Jesus and watching that show, then yes, if your conscience is clear. I don't think a lot of the stuff I do, I'm very comfortable, because that's why I'm always going to God to help me and forgive me, Lord. And I try to listen to my wife, because even though I might be doing some clean stuff, okay, it might be bad use of my time, you know? Seriously, okay? I mean, you gotta use wisdom there. And, you know, and you know, rebukes from your wife or your husband. Think about these things. Blessed are the pure, holy in heart, for they will see God. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us to be more alert and careful. With what we put into our minds and in our hearts, even in the name of entertainment. Give us wisdom, especially in this time, in this generation. We need wisdom, discipline, that we would seek the things that are lovely, praiseworthy, excellent, admirable. Oh Lord, create this church of that kind of people. Change us, that we will seek, not in a unhealthy, rebuking, judgmental way, but we wanna be more like Jesus. Give us that balance, I pray. Give us grace, that we might be pure and holy as Jesus and you are holy. Help us, I pray. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.